Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Justice Minister says Cabinet will give all due consideration to public health advice before moving forward with any plans to ease restrictions. Teachers' unions have criticised what they've called the government's failure to protect teachers in early pregnancy from COVID. The Education Minister says they're following public health advice. The Garda Commissioner says the force has learned lessons from last weekend's All-Ireland hurling final. 52 pharmacies in Donegal now listed on the HSE website as providing vaccinations, and a family representative on the Defective Blocks working group says they're returning to full discussions in the coming week with a comprehensive plan. Later in the bulletin, Oisin's here with sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. The Justice Minister says Cabinet will give all due consideration to public health advice before moving forward with any plans to ease restrictions. A roadmap to reopening is due to be published on Tuesday. That will outline how measures will be lifted up to Christmas. NPHET met earlier today to discuss the escalating COVID-19 numbers, which aren't expected to peak until next month. Minister Heather Humphreys says the vaccination rollout will be key in deciding when particular restrictions can ease.
I think that we'll have to listen and hear what the medical experts say, but I do think that at this stage our vaccination programme has been so successful that should mean that there is benefit here in all of this.
Representatives for the hospitality sector, meanwhile, are calling for all remaining restrictions to be lifted by the end of September. The Licensed Vintners Association wants rules around capacity limits and bar service to be eased. Chief Executive Donal O'Keefe says the government must address these issues in next week's roadmap.
Based on the fact that over 90% of the adult population will have been fully vaccinated by September, we believe restrictions should be fully removed at that stage at the end of September, in line with what's happening in the UK and many other countries.
Well, teachers' unions have criticised what they've called the government's failure to protect their members in early pregnancy from COVID. Currently, women who are in the first 14 weeks of pregnancy are not eligible for a vaccine, but they are being told to report for work in schools regardless. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
The country's three main teaching unions, the ASTI, the INTO and the TUI, have joined their voices today. They say they find it incredible that vulnerable staff members are being expected to go into schools to teach. They've called on the Minister, Norma Foley, to change this, and they've asked for swift action to allow staff members to work remotely, like they did before the summer. However, the Minister has insisted this current advice is based on an expert review. She says anyone with a particular concern can take leave.
There is significant pregnancy-related leave available. There is 183 sick days leave available to staff. That can be invoked on the instruction of a GP or a consultant.
But the ASTI President, Eamon Dennehy, says that's totally unfair because these teachers aren't sick. He says the situation is terrifying to them, though.
They're extremely anxious about their own health and this particularly sensitive thing of their own born child's health. They are entitled to every consideration, I think. I think they have to be entitled to every consideration, and we'd really appreciate if the Minister could reconsider this.
Eamon Dennehy there of the ASTI. Well, that's been echoed by the INTO General Secretary, John Boyle. He's stunned that vulnerable staff members are expected to report for work.
It just beggars belief that the department is forcing teachers who are pregnant in their early pregnancy into a risky situation where not alone do they risk their own health, but also their own pregnancies. And all we asked for was for a time, length of time that those teachers, it would only be a number of weeks for some people and maybe up to 2 months for the others, that they would be allowed work remotely, work from home.
The Garda Commissioner says the force has learned lessons from last weekend's All-Ireland hurling final. It comes after huge crowds gathered on the streets of Limerick, Cork and close to Croke Park before and after the game. Several pubs around the Dublin Stadium were told to close for a time in the interests of public safety. Well, Commissioner Drew Harris says Gardaí will be ready for large crowds coming to the city again this coming weekend for the football semi-final between Tyrone and Kerry.
Obviously, we are involved with the policing of licensed premises and making sure they're acting and conducting their businesses properly. There were some interventions last weekend about that, and we've learned from that, and we're also working them with licensees because they want to run responsible premises as well. And we're also there in terms of just managing public safety, both from movement of crowds, movement of traffic.
52 pharmacies in Donegal are now listed on the HSE website as providing vaccines, with people over the age of 12 being invited to register with a local pharmacy if that's how they wish to receive their vaccination. Meanwhile, the vaccination centre at Letterkenny Institute of Technology is still operational, having administered over 90,000 vaccines since it opened earlier this year. The centre in Carndonagh has closed this week as students prepare to return to school, with the HSE saying the preference would be for people who received their first dose there to receive their second in Letterkenny. However, Mandy Doyle, the head of primary care in Donegal, says those who need to may be able to avail of the pharmacy option.
People in Carndonagh area may have received their first vaccine at the Carndonagh Community School. But as we know, the schools are coming back now next week. So everyone who has had their first vaccination in the Carndonagh area and is still waiting for their second vaccine, they will receive their text, which will clearly outline that they'd go to Letterkenny for their second vaccine.
In the case of someone who perhaps in Cairn, for instance, has had their first vaccination at the vaccination centre, can they get their second dose in a local pharmacy, or would you prefer people to go to LOIT in order to keep the paperwork chain and the record chain intact, as it were?
We'd prefer that they went to Letterkenny to receive their second vaccination, as is, you know, the text message they'll receive. But again, if there's anything, any reason to why they can't travel to Letterkenny, to please to have that conversation with their pharmacist to see if they can avail of it that way, or alternatively to ring the helpline number and get guidance and advice from the person then from the health service who's there to give that support.
And very important too for people who want afterwards to avail of, be it a meal in a restaurant or a drink in a pub or whatever, just to make sure afterwards that the details on their digital COVID cert are correct, and to make sure particularly if they've perhaps mixed their centres that those details on that cert are correct and that they can get the cert as quickly as possible.
That's right. Just ask for an update, you know, at their second vaccination, you know, to ensure that their name, their address and their email address are correct and, you know, and up to date on the system, so that be it at the pharmacist or our vaccination centre, to ensure then that their COVID cert is sent to the correct address or the correct email address.
Mandy Doyle there from the HSE. And just to repeat, the helpline number, HSE COVID helpline number, is 1-800-700-700. A family representative on the Defective Blocks Working Group says they'll be returning to full discussions in the coming weeks with a comprehensive document that clearly outlines their position. Affected homeowner Eileen Doherty says considerable work has been done over the summer, and family representatives in Donegal now have a clear and unified position in their negotiations for 100% redress. After a series of meetings this week with local TDs in Donegal and Mayo, Eileen Doherty says they have promises of support from all of them. On today's 9 till noon show, Eileen Doherty told Craig Hughes the families have been working with experts for the past few weeks, and that has paid dividends.
For the month of August, we've had 2 meetings a week, every Monday and Friday, with the housing agency. And just so that people are clear, the housing agency chief executive, John O'Connor, is also on the wider working group. But him and his team have been working with us twice a week for 2 hours each time, and answering questions that we have and around how the operation of the Pyrite scheme. The housing agency oversees the Pyrite scheme in Leinster, the Greater Leinster area. So what's happened is, a lot of the issues that we were confronted with and questions that we had and we're trying to work through, well, how could that work? We've been helped significantly and greatly by John O'Connor and his team. Now, in addition to that, we also have recommenced meetings with some of the members of the actual wider working group, and those commenced the week before last. So we've had another about 3 meetings with them again. So to give you an update as to where we are, we now have a very clear position, or we're starting to really forge a very clear position from the working group's perspective, from the family's perspective. We have a very clear understanding as to what we are willing to concede on and what we're not. And as we move into the next few weeks, really, we propose that we will have a document that we submit to the department.
And that was Eileen Doherty speaking there to Greg Hughes. You can hear that full discussion on our website, highlandradio.com. Irish Army Rangers are now on the ground in Afghanistan, working to get remaining Irish citizens and visa holders out of the country. There's just 6 days left until the deadline for evacuations. With more detail, here's Ben Finnegan.
The specially trained members of the Irish Defence Forces will work with their international counterparts at Kabul Airport over the coming days to get 36 people out on flights. The government's private jet has also been sent to the region as a contingency to aid efforts. However, it's understood it won't enter Afghan airspace. Ireland is still due to accept up to 200 Afghan refugees, while some have already arrived into the country. Nick Henderson is CEO of the Irish Refugee Council. He says time is running out to get people rescued from the Taliban.
It does seem that the window is closing very, very abruptly. The Taliban are stating that they won't let people go to the airport. We're working with one family, for example, who are at high risk, who are very afraid of actually leaving their house in Kabul.
The US president, meanwhile, has said he won't be asking the Taliban for an extension to the evacuation deadline of August 31st. The Taliban have said there would be consequences if efforts to get people out of the country continue into September.
And that report was from Ben Finnegan. One man has been arrested in County Sligo after €106,000 worth of drugs were found at a house in Colooney. Gardaí discovered cannabis herb, resin and jellies, as well as cocaine, during a search of a house at around 9 last night. A man was detained at the scene and the seized drugs were sent for analysis. The Rescue 118 helicopter was called to assist Killybegs Coast Guard in an operation last evening involving an angler. The Coast Guard was taxed at approximately 8:30 following reports of the angler being stranded on a rock after being cut off by the tide in Glencolumbkill. The Coast Guard established that due to the position of rocks in the area, a boat rescue wasn't feasible. Assistance from the helicopter was requested. The angler was airlifted and transferred to hospital. Shane McCrudden, acting officer in charge with Killybegs Coast Guard, says local knowledge of the water is vital.
We made our way by road to assess the situation to see if this person indeed was in danger. We got on scene and we realised that there was concern for the individual's safety. They were out on an outcrop rock out from the coastline. Now, the tide had just turned to go back out, but there was a bit of a run on of swell coming in, and at times we've seen the swell coming up as far as the individual's feet. We were too far away from him to have communications with him, and we didn't have a mobile phone and that. Now, there was a lot of locals there, and in fairness, their knowledge was very, very valuable. They also advised us that there was other rocks that were submerged that would be a danger for a boat rescue. So in terms of the Killybegs Coast Guard boat, that wasn't going to be an option. So immediately with light fading, I asked Malin Head, could they task Rescue 118? And they were on scene relatively very quick. They assessed the situation and they lowered the winchman and took the casualty off the rock. They proceeded then as far as Sligo, where he was taken by ambulance to Sligo General Hospital. He didn't require any further medical attention. He was, by all accounts, safe and well.
And thankfully, in this instance, it was a positive outcome, but it just shows you how quickly things can change when you're in the water.
Oh, I certainly so, because in fairness, the sea conditions yesterday, they were very, very calm. There was no wind at all, but there was a bit of a groundswell. That was our main concern, that possibly a swell could come up and take him off the rocks, and that the outcome would be completely different to what it actually turned out to be. We can't stress enough to the public is that they are in an area that they're not familiar with, is maybe ask the locals, where can I fish, where's safe to fish, where should I not go? Also, the wearing of a life jacket or a PFD would be very, very advisable.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Irish League Soccer. Institute have named Brian Donaghy as their new head coach, replacing Sean Connor. Brian was an integral part of the club's 2017-18 championship success and was part of the staff which helped steer the first team to an excellent 8th place finish in the Premiership the following season. Brian has coached at Northern Ireland under 18 level and was also involved at Crusaders. Cross channel, Tottenham manager Nuno Espirito Santo is delighted at Harry Kane's decision to stay at the club. The striker says he's 100% committed to bringing success to Spurs this season. Kane, of course, had been linked with a move to Manchester City, but his Spurs manager is happy to put that talk to bed.
We are all very happy. One of the best players in the world. So we are all very happy, delighted to have one more option to the season ahead of us.
Well, Spurs goalkeeper Pier Luigi Gallini said today that the news is a huge boost to the whole Spurs squad.
We know how good he's Ari as a player and how important he is for this club, for this team. For me, he's definitely one of the best strikers in the world. He's a very, very big and important news for us and for all the Tottenham fans, and we're just very happy.
Paris Saint-Germain sporting director Leonardo has accused Real Madrid of playing games regarding Kylian Mbappe. Real have had a bid of €160 million for the 22-year-old rejected by PSG. Mbappe is into the final year of his contract in Paris, and Leonardo says that Real are just posturing in the hopes of securing the striker on a free next summer. Arsenal will look for a confidence-boosting win tonight. The Gunners take on West Bromwich Albion in the second round of the Carabao Cup. Kicking off at the Hawthorns is at 8 o'clock. It's an all-Premier League affair at St James's Park as Newcastle face Burnley from 7:45. Also at that time, Newport County will host Southampton. Irish strikers Shane Long and Michael Obafemi are expected to be involved for the Saints tonight. Boss Raf Heuselhoeten is expected to hand a number of first-team players their first appearances of the season in Wales. Newport, however, have a good recent record against Premier League sides in cup competitions, and Heuselhoeten knows it won't be easy to progress to round three.
To go there, you need to be really lively and good organised, and it's definitely not a Sunday afternoon walk there, so it's, you have to go for everything if you want to take something there.
In Scotland, Ange Postecoglou has praised Rangers for their handling of the racist abuse aimed at Celtic striker Keegan Frusciashi by a group of their fans. The Ibrox club imposed an indefinite ban on the individuals involved after videos posted online showed the Japanese forward targeted by discriminatory songs and gestures. The Celtic boss says that Furiashi wants to move on from the incident.
He's good to go, yeah, absolutely. Has he been affected? Look, it's hard because it's the old adage, unless you walk a mile in a person's shoes, how do you really know? But, you know, he understands that, you know, this is not reflective of his experience here.
Full lineup of games tonight in the Brian McCormick Cup, Area Shields in the Donegal Junior League. 14 games down for decision across the four areas. All matches kick off at 6:45 tonight. In tennis, for the first time since 1997, a US Open will be without Serena Williams, Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. Williams today pulled out of the final Grand Slam of the year due to a hamstring injury. She turns 40 next month and is still one Grand Slam, one shy of Margaret Court's record of 24. In Gaelic Games, Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly says he doesn't see any changes around the remaining All-Ireland fixtures. 40,000 people attended the All-Ireland hurling final between Limerick and Cork last Sunday, a move which drew some criticism. Another 40,000 will be allowed inside Croke Park for the football decider on Saturday, September the 11th. And that's your sport for today, Donal. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. A West Tyrone MP is calling for the revision of an Irish passport office north of the border. Orla Begley claims that her office has been inundated with requests and complaints from people in the north who want to obtain an Irish passport, but they're facing severe delays. The process is currently taking upwards of 8 weeks with a backlog of over 100,000 passport applications. Orla Begley argues that having an Irish passport office in the north would create more capacity and also ensure equal access for all Irish citizens.
It's quite clear that we now need a passport office for the north to deal with a significant number of applications which are coming from citizens residing in the six counties. So I have made representations to the Irish government on this very point, and I've asked them to seriously consider establishing and setting up a passport office in order for citizens in the north to have equal access to those services.
And indeed, some here may argue that perhaps a passport office could be set up in Donegal or perhaps elsewhere, maybe in Monaghan or Cavan in Ulster. Would it specifically have to be within Northern Ireland itself, or would a solution where it's in one of the border counties also work for you, or is it just the north?
We would be, of course, open to any passport office which would have a more geographical spread and would cater for the people right across Ulster, right across the nine counties. And that is what we have called for continually, is for the Irish government to really seriously consider relocating a passport office, which would be in the northern side of the island. We await now for a response from the Irish government, in particular from Minister Coveney. But I know that we have called for this for several years now, and I really think it's time that action was taken, that a passport office was established north of the island.
That's Orla Begley speaking there to Daniel Brennan. The Northwest Migrants Forum has launched an information booklet to help people navigate politics in Northern Ireland. The toolkit's been produced as part of the organisation's Effective Activism and Campaign for Change project. It focuses on the Common Travel Agreement, which the group says discriminates against many residents of Northern Ireland and the Republic. Director of programmes with the forum, Lillian Sinoy-Barr, says it's about making people feel more included.
This is just to encourage more people to get informed and get involved in politics, as politics is where decisions are made, it is where progress can happen, and it is really targeted to every single citizen, particularly minority ethnic people who may not know that they have the right to vote or to get involved in politics.
The National Council for the Blind is calling for a crackdown on dog fouling and improvements to footpath access for the visually impaired. Figures reveal that in 2020 there were only two prosecutions for dog fouling in the Northwest over the 12 months, one in Donegal and one in Sligo. June Tinsley is head of advocacy and communications with NCBI. She says dog fouling and the lack of legal enforcement for those whose dogs leave waste on the streets can cause issues for the blind and visually impaired.
The local authorities do have some remit, be it parking fines or dog fouling fines, those kind of things that they can impose to help change people's behaviour. But what we found with relation to the dog fouling fines is that the volume of fines being issued is exceptionally low. In 2020, for example, across the local authorities that we looked at, 12 local authorities did not issue any dog fouling fines at all. Donegal only issued one of them. So I suppose it's not really acting as a deterrent. And in relation to dog fouling, as you can appreciate, someone who's blind or vision impaired doesn't see it until they're physically in it. And it's actually not only exceptionally disgusting to have to clean off shoes, but then it might have to clean it off their cane and it gets on their hands. So it's exceptionally unhygienic. So to pet owners, we'd certainly put a call out to genuinely clean up after their dogs.
Weather forecast now, and it will stay dry this evening with spells of sunshine in a light northeasterly breeze. Tonight, again, staying dry with clear spells, light variable breezes. Patches of mist and fog will develop overnight in lowest temperatures of 10 to 13 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, any overnight mist and fog will gradually clear during the morning and early afternoon, leaving a dry day with a mix of cloud and sunny spells. Highest temperatures on Thursday of 20 to 24 degrees Celsius in a light northeasterly breeze. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief. The Justice Minister says Cabinet will give all due consideration to public health advice before moving forward with any plans to ease restrictions. Meanwhile, representatives of the hospitality sector are calling for all remaining restrictions to be lifted by the end of September. Teachers' unions continue to criticise the government over what they say is its failure to protect teachers in early pregnancy from COVID. Education Minister Norma Foley says the advice they've been given by public health experts is it's safe for all pregnant teachers to return to work. The INTO's General Secretary John Boyle says he's stunned that vulnerable staff members have to teach in person. The Garda Commissioner says the force has learned lessons from last weekend's All-Ireland Hurling Final, and they'll be applied around Croke Park when Tyrone fans meet Kerry fans on the weekend. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, August the 25th. The death has taken place of Maureen Egan, 8 Kildare, Muff. Maureen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Her remains will leave her late residence at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow evening, going to the Sacred Heart Church, Muff, to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. House is strictly private by the request of the deceased. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Patrick Paddy Carr, Drimnacarry, Creasla. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live at mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church, Chrysler. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Cystic Fibrosis, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director.